Even for Connecticut, it's been a very bad season for ticks. And while we know that tick season is not really a thing anymore, you can find ticks at any time of the year, you might have thought that the cold winter and all this snow that we got would give us a reprieve. Turns out, no, Lyme disease numbers are up, but also other tick-borne illnesses that you may not be familiar with. Joining me now is Dr. Gadarz Molay, director of Connecticut's tick testing program. And Dr. Molay, first of all, thank you for joining me. Talk to me about the numbers this year compared to previous years.
Well, this year we are seeing unprecedented number of ticks submitted to our laboratory, and this also corresponds to what we are seeing in the real field. So far this year, we have received nearly 3,700 ticks submitted to our laboratory.
Yeah.
And if we want to compare this number to the past decade or so, we thought that 2025 was the highest year. It turns out it wasn't. And this number significantly higher than last year, and it also surpassed the numbers that we received in 2017. That was the highest in recent history. You can imagine this is the numbers that we are dealing with.
Now, when you say tick submissions, you're talking about people who have been bitten by a tick, or at the very least found one on them or their child or animal or something like that, and sent it in. So this is people who are finding them and then sending them into you. That's the number that we're talking about when we say the highest that we've had.
Absolutely. These are the ticks that have bitten people or their pet animals. Mostly these are bitten ticks that have bit people.
Right. Now, it does make me wonder, and this is just me trying to see the bright side of this, could that possibly be because people are just more aware that that's something that they can do now? Because I'll be honest with you, up until about a year ago, I wasn't even aware that you could take a tick that you found on yourself and send it in to be tested. Are some of those numbers just a fact that the public is more aware of that option now?
That is a possibility. However, as I mentioned earlier, these numbers that we are receiving in our laboratory corresponds with the numbers that we are seeing in the field.
Right.
Because routinely I go out with my crew to look at different areas throughout the state, and I found that this year is exceptionally high tick abundance throughout the state, particularly in New Haven and Fairfield counties, that in addition to our native tick species, including black-legged or deer tick and American dog tick, we are seeing non-native or invasive tick species, including Lone Star, Gulf Coast, and Longhorn ticks.
So I was going to ask you about that, the kind of impact that invasive species are having. So, all right, so you're seeing more of those. Now, I also read that there's a lot of, I guess not new diseases that we're getting from ticks, but just higher numbers of lesser known diseases, tick-borne illnesses than usual. Can you talk about some of those other non-Lyme illnesses or syndromes that people can get?
Yes, we are. First of all, we are seeing a higher prevalence of infection in black-legged tick with babesiosis pathogen and anaplasmosis pathogen.
That's the deer
currently,
tick, right?
That is the deer tick. So we are seeing about 12 to 14% of deer ticks to be infected with the agents for babesiosis, and another 7 to 8% infected with anaplasmosis. Then we are seeing 2 to 3% of black-legged tick or deer tick to be infected with a disease with a pathogen that causes a disease called heart tick relapsing fever. And then some of these ticks are infected with a virus called Powassan virus. This is just the black-legged ticks. Currently, black-legged tick carries about 7 pathogens responsible for 5 different diseases, including Lyme disease. Then we are dealing with Lone Star tick that carries ehrlichiosis. That is one of the most important disease agents that this tick carries. Then in addition to that, Lone Star tick is associated with alpha-gal syndrome,
yeah,
or red meat allergy. We are extremely concerned right now what is going to happen in Connecticut as the population of Lone Star tick is spreading throughout the state. Up until recently, we saw the major population of this tick to be in the coastal area, but as the climate change is showing its impact, we are seeing this tick is moving further inland and northward. So as a result, we are expecting to have higher percentage of people to be to be impacted by alpha-gal syndrome. And currently we are trying to recruit about 1,600 Connecticut residents, 200 per county, to get a good understanding of how people have developed or have not developed alpha-gal syndrome in our state. What is the prevalence of the syndrome is in our state? And also,
yeah,
determine whether Lone Star tick is the only tick that might be involved in causing this allergic reaction, or other tick species that we have in our state might be involved, because our state is uniquely set for this kind of analysis, because we have areas with established population of Lone Star tick and areas without establishment of this tick species.
So, okay.
And then we have...
Well, no, so But before we continue, I wanted to bring up 2 points that you just said that I think are really important. You know, number one, you were talking earlier about the deer tick, the black-legged tick, having, you know, not just Lyme disease, but also multiple different pathogens that can infect people. Because I think, you know, it certainly was my understanding that, oh, we're getting all these different pathogens, but that's coming from invasive species. Like, you know, no, you can get a wide variety of illness and disease from just the deer tick. It's not just Lyme. But also I want to hear more about this study that you're doing on alpha-gal. And if you're listening at home, and I'm talking to Dr. Gudarz Molai, who's the director of Connecticut's tick testing program. If you haven't heard of alpha-gal syndrome, my mom's best friend, my aunt, I call her, has had alpha-gal for much of the last 10 years. You can't eat any land animals. Is that correct, Dr. Molai? So it's beef, pork, and really anything like that. But you can still eat chicken and any birds, right?
Yes, you can eat chicken. However, it is not just the allergic reaction is not just limited to meat. It also includes any product that might originate from mammalian cells.
Oh, so
dairy products.
Wow.
And even some products that are used in medical facilities that have origin, like products that are used in surgery rooms or any other facilities that might be originated or might have originated from mammalian system, allergic reaction also are for those products as well.
Well, Dr. Molai, I want very much for us. We're running up against the clock right now, but I'd love to have you back on to talk more about this study that you're planning on doing, because I think that that's something that really everybody in Connecticut should be aware of, and if you're capable of and qualify for it, should take part in. But before I let you go right now, can you just talk to me about tick prevention? Is there anything, you know, what should people be doing to keep themselves safe, you know, this summer and this season while ticks are especially out and about and aggressive?
Yeah, first of all, people have to realize that here, as we discussed, we are dealing with multiple tick species.
Yeah.
And these multiple tick species, they may have their own habitats. So it is no longer just the wooded area, parks or other areas that might be infested with ticks. We now have some areas along the beaches in Fairfield and New Haven County that are heavily infested. Therefore, people have to wear light-colored clothing and tuck their pants into their socks. And before they put these clothing on, they have to make sure they spray these clothing and let them dry for about 15 minutes. Then they can put them on. They also have to use repellent on their bare skin to make sure that ticks won't be able to get on them. And after, within 2 to 3 hours after outdoor activity, they have to do thorough tick check on themselves and invite a family member to help them to look for ticks in the area. They cannot see it. And if they remove ticks, then they have to save those ticks, either send it to our laboratory or send it to or keep it in their freezer or so that in case if they develop any symptoms, doctors and healthcare providers know what kind of tick that bit them, then they can come up with a proper diagnosis and treatment of those diseases.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, listen, if you're listening at home and thinking, wow, that sounds like a lot, I just did it the other day. I pulled a tick off my son when he was at T-ball off the back of his neck. I found it. I wrapped it up I wrapped it up in a Band-Aid that I had in my wallet. And I put it in a plastic bag and I sent it in. It's incredibly important, especially with tick disease numbers being so high. Dr. Gadarz Molay, director of the Connecticut Tick Testing Program, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You're listening to The Download on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC.